Okay, so here we go. So we finished off last week with a question, and this week we'll deal with the Sveika issue of the Ramah. And truth is, that's pretty much it for in terms of Hilchos Chadashir, at least that what from what appears in Shulchan Aruch. So, the question that we had last week was as follows: the Shulchan Aruch tells us here that you require that Hashrasha needs to take place. This is in Sif Gimel. That if it didn't take root until the 6th before the 16th of Nisan, so then it's going to be usher until the Omer of the next year. Okay, so that means that it's now it's Chadash, even after Pesach comes and goes, so it never took root before Pesach, and therefore it's Chadash. It's Chadash wheat until you get to the next go-around with regards to wheat. So the Shach here commented that, okay, well, how much time does it need to be in the ground before Hashrasha? And the Shach commented, quotes the Trumas Hadashin as saying that needs to be in the ground for 3 days before. That was the Shach's comment in the last of the wide lines on the first page here. So the Nekudas HaKesef here, as well as the Dagol Merivava is the Node of Yehuda, and of course, and the Dagol Merivava is not just asking it here, but the Dagol Merivava is asks it as well in the Node of Yehuda itself.
Where is the
Dagol Merivava here? Dagol Merivava is towards the bottom right of the page. It says Dagol Merivava. On page Shulchan Aruch. I'm sorry, where are we here? Yeah, so on page 3. Okay, so page 2, so we have the Shulchan Aruch there in Gimel. You have the Shach saying 3 days. You have the Nekudas HaKesef Nekudas HaKesef is written by the Shach, but he raises this question. And the Dagol Merivava towards the bottom also raises this question. And the question is also in the Node of Yehuda, and it's also alluded to in the Piskei Tshuva here at the bottom, saying that the idea that it needs to have taken root 3 days before the second day of Pesach, he says, that's an unusual halacha. Usually, when we consider things that need to take root before a certain time, we require it take place that it be 2 weeks before. So, for example, this is actually the next group of halachas. The next Simon Reish Tzadi Dalid is Hilchos Orla. So when it comes to Orla, for a year to count as an Orla year, it needs to have taken root 2 weeks before Rosh Hashanah, in order for it to count. So they all ask this question. He says, yes, we understand you got this, that there is a Gemara in Maseches Psachim, where it discusses something having taken root before Pesach, 3 days before Pesach. He says, yeah, but we don't paskin like that Gemara. We really paskin like Rabbi Yehuda that you require 2 weeks, at least when it comes to Orla. So why is this going to be any different? So if you see on the bottom of the page, of page 3, so there the Piskei Tshuva asks this question. Piskei Tshuva Hey. Where are we here? Here. Piskei Tshuva Hey at the bottom. So there he says, Ein Be'er Heite, V'nirshan Kodama Omer, Hainu Gimel Yamim, Uma Vahu Mitruma Sadeshen, Shevi Ashach, V'ayim B'dogim Ravav Shetema Alze. Da Adon Kaimelan, plus we pass like Rabbi Yossi, Sayonara Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Da Hainu Shtei Shabbasos, as we see in later on in Simon Reish Tzadi Dalet. Right, Reish Tzadi Dalet is not so far ahead, it's the next Simon, right, Sif Dalet. V'shuvra da Hashach Ba'atzmo, V'nukudas HaKesef, He Sigal Trumas Hadeshen. We see that the Shach himself, when he wrote the Nekudas HaKesef, he also argued on the Trumas Hadeshen with this. All right, and he says, V'ayin b'tshuvas k'sam sofer simen kuf, resh pei dalid, v'resh simen resh pei vav, shekasav liyashev divrei Trumas Hadeshen b'tuv tam. That tries to answer for the Trumas Hadeshen. So
Just before or 2 weeks before, and so that's what they're arguing about. So how did it come up with 2 weeks?
2 weeks, because in other areas of halacha, when the Mishnah in discussion of Mishnayos when it comes to Orla, so there 2 weeks are required before for it to have taken root before. I believe for Shemitah as well. Also, that's the standard requirement. So all of a sudden here we're only requiring 3 days. And this is a big difference. I mean, when it comes to figuring out the as we talked about last time, about the winter wheat and the summer wheat, so the summer wheat needs to be planted right around then. So it's going to be a big difference whether it needs to be 2 entire weeks before Pesach or if 3 days before Pesach would suffice, right? So that's it's a big nafkamina. So how do we how do you resolve this? So the
change of the season, then 2 weeks before, it's still colder.
Right. Yeah. No, it's a big. I mean, depending on the year, if it's a leap year or not. But yeah, no, it's a big. It's a big difference. A lot. My understanding is a lot of things get planted right around that time. So the. I don't know what there's feedback here. Am I the only one getting the feedback? Okay, so if we go to page 5, I think they page 5, where is it? If we go turn to page, 5, yeah. So 5 is the Minchas Yitzchak, right. So the Minchas Yitzchak, I saw this, he quotes the Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer seems to, my understanding is, he seems to be saying that, well, it's only Durabun you have the right to be Makel, meaning there's different positions here, and you could be lenient about that. So the Minchas Yitzchak here adds a little bit, I think, a little bit more color to what's going on. Minchas Yitzchak is right with Yitzchak Weiss. Yitzchak Weiss was the Dayan of the Eid Haredes, I think passed away around 2000 or so, I'm not exactly sure, but was also a Rav in Hungary, and then was a Rav in England for a while before moving to Yerushalayim. So I think he knew English. But anyways, so he talks about this issue. And he actually says that I talked with regards to Chadash, I spoke about a lot, and where should we pick up here? The Issa Yamtin La'ad, let's just go from the top. Harbi Arachti B'chidush L'Inyani the Chadash, I've talked about the Zad, Mashakasu Minyan Ha. With regard to the issue of wheat that was planted 3 days before Pesach, the Sada Yisrael, the Kashima Od Limso, Chitim Shemorim Acherim Lismoch Al Trumas Hadeshen. Right? It's hard to find others' reasons to be Makel like the Trumas Hadeshen. Baby Divrei Gedolei Poskim Bazeh, Hine, after Tziruf Divrei Habach Bechadash, Shal Eretz Yisrael, Shehevi. England, that he says, when it comes to Eretz Yisrael, it's a little hard to know why we should be makel like this Trumas Hadeshen. But certainly, when it comes to things outside of Eretz Yisrael, you certainly would have the right to be makel. And not only that, but in England in particular, you have more of a reason to be makel than other places. Why? Dine b'maram shik, kasav raya brural divrei ha-trumas ha-deshem, divrei ha-rush, v'isa yamtin la'ad sheyatlit, v'isa b'yushami ad kama hatlata achetehe ba'aretz gimel yamin. So he uses this term of yatlit. Now, I'm not sure what this term means, but he is going to attempt to distinguish between seeding versus taking root. And we're 3 days is what it takes for, it sounds like, for the seeds to at least is like to ferment, or when seeds begin to break down. I'm not sure what the term is. And you see the Yerushalmi itself talks about 3 days for that. Uperish Arash Sham the Perish the Aretz Lach Mispashtin Himenu Shrashim Dakim Adumim Kitolos, that when the ground is wet, so then it things like are crawling out of it. Lakakashimahapchim Mesim Hashrashim, and so too when you like turn over roots. The Khinira Adavar Mukrach Sham Lafarisha Mishnah Dim Loke Lama Mahani Hepech. Not sure what that's referring to. Val korchak the ishchiluk bein zriel inatias. This is what I think. So therefore, you see that there's a difference between planting and or seeding and planting. V'sayim mizen nirish she'ein kol zrayim v'chol tavus shavus ve'ein kol makom shavin. He says, and not that, but not all seeds are going to be the same, and not all places are going to be the same. U'chol pachus midi sveika lo nafka akanvar. Right, and certainly from it's not going to remove the suffix. The difference between If it's like a harder surface versus a softer, or a plowed surface, Ayintosus Psachim, V'yafek Ketevas V'perish Arash, Ayum Miskeni, Im Be'emes HaShol, the Shamhav, and I'm not even sure that was the Maram Shik, because he has his own thing. They skip to the second underlying part, V'im Kein, Medinas, England, Hanitbarich B'Geshamim Merubim, that gets a lot of rain, B'Vadei Ha'aretz Lacha, the ground is certainly moist, V'Nikla B'Meheira Mi'Beshar Mekomos, and therefore the seeds begin to ferment, is that the right term? For with
sprout.
I'm not sure. It begins to, it break down. It begins to do its thing earlier than in other lands. So he's just, he says, first of all, one could distinguish with regards to Orla. It could be Orla requires for it to, like, be a little stronger in terms of it growing, as opposed to wheat, which just needs to be planted. Beyond that, it could be that trees take more to begin growing than wheat does to begin growing. He says, and furthermore, in a lot of our places, we use moist land for it, and in this moist land, so the seeds are going to be more quick to ferment. And he says, and not only that, you add in the idea that it's probably that it's only the Rabbanan and it's a suffix whether this is required at all, because we have the Bach and we have others to rely on. So therefore, suggests the Menachos Yitzchak, we have the right to be makel for the 3 days as opposed to the 2 weeks. So, and then as I mentioned already, right in that question from the Star K webinar, so it seems that Rav Heinemann paskened that way as well, that 3 days was sufficient, as long as it was in the ground 3 days before Pesach, that was sufficient for it to be considered to be Yashon of the previous year. Okay? Fine. So now, this topic of the famous Sveik Sveikas. If we go back to page one here. Right, so let's just record it again, the famous Tshuva of the Rush that's recorded here in the Torah. So on page one, where it says Gimel, he says, Ve'ena Omer Matir El Tavushanish Rasha Kodama Omer. He says, the Omer, the beginning of the counting of the Omer, so that only permits grain that was already rooted before the Omer began. Avalim Lo Nishrasha Kodama Omer, but if it wasn't, so it's not going to be permitted. So Kasav Adonia Viha Rush, B'Tshuva, Vadai B'chol Hashanim ein lachush misafik al hatvua la'asri. He says we don't really have to worry about the grain to aser it. Shemalo nishrusha kodem the semchinan aruba shnishrusha kodem laomer. That maybe it didn't take root before Pesach. Was we rely on the vast majority that it took root before the omer. Va'od, and not only that, shehu sveik sveika. It's a double doubt. What is that? Shemehi mitvuas shana sha'avra. That maybe it's from the previous year. Vafilu hi mitvuas shana zu. Shemenishu shalifnei omer. And even if it's the tvua of this year, then perhaps shema nishrusha, maybe it got planted lifnei omer, before the omer. And now, it says, and then he goes into, he says, and now I went around before Pesach, and I wanted to look into this to see if really things get planted before Pesach or not. He says, I couldn't really find too many people that were doing it. And he says, I wasn't so happy to it, but I was going to publicize it, that we got to be nervous about all the wheat that grows over the course of the summer, but I didn't want to, and then, because I was concerned that people wouldn't listen to me. And right, and he says, and he concludes by saying, "Mutav shayu shogin v'alyu mazidin." Better that everybody violate this din by accident rather than doing it knowingly, right? Okay, so that then gets quoted here in the Ramah here in Shulchan Aruch. So if we go then to page 3, I believe, right? Page 3, right? So the Ramah here makes his big stand. He says, "When we call makom kol stam tavua." Shari la'achar Pesach. He says, really, all the tefua should be permissible after Pesach. Why? Mikoach sveik sveika. Based on the principle of a double doubt. Safik ki mishana sha'avra, v'imtim salomar mishana zu, mikol makom dilma nishra sha'kodan omer. That maybe it's from the previous year, and even if it's from this year, so it took root before the omer began. It says, uvamine tefua shazorim vaday la'achar, I guess, is that Pesach? Even though it says.
It's like Pesach.
I assume it's Pesach, even though.
I'm not sure if other people are experiencing this, but you're fading in and out. You're stopping every now.
What?
If it's just me, I checked my internet connection.
Yeah, I thought it was actually pretty good. I didn't notice is that?
You can send the sources again, or the ghost. I didn't get them.
It could be. I think I have two boys doing a fantasy draft on separate computers, so it could be they're drawing some of the bandwidth. But okay, so v'mine tvua shezorim. He says when it comes to a thing that's planted certainly after Pesach, for example, in some of the places where they plant shibolas shual v'shiurim lachar Pesach, oats and wheat after Pesach, az yishal hachmir, you'd have to be machmir achar hakatzir, even after the harvest, if they weren't planted, right? Im lo she'ein dalsus hamedina no'alos. Unless the gates of the city are closed, v'rov hatvu abav mimakum achar, are open, and the wheat is really coming from someplace else where it was planted before Pesach. He says v'chein, and also during the winter continued on nimshichim la'achar Pesach uvechol haGalil hahu zorim la'achar Pesach, and also entire Galil they planted after. I'm not sure what the Galil is, the whole place where they planted after Pesach. HaGalil, is that Galil in Israel? I'm not sure what he's referring to by the Galil, but they planted after Pesach. Dvarim haniskarim yish la'achri after yahachir v'lachush min hastam, and be nervous with regular wheat that it was stuff that was planted after Pesach. Aval ein lahoros la'achirim makom sherov shtiyasan ulachil miminim elu. Don't teach this where most people are eating and drinking this stuff, because ki mutav shayishogin value mazidin. The better that they violated by accident rather than on purpose. And that's what the Torah sounds like from the Rush and the Trumas Hadeshen and Simen Kuf Nun Ches. Okay, so that is the famous Rush. So he said a couple of things here, right? He said the second half is easier to easier to understand. Fundamentally easier to understand. I don't know if fundamentally is the right word. The second half where he says that, look, if you look into it and you see that things were planted too late, that things were planted only after Pesach, and then you have to be concerned about it, but don't publicize it too much because people aren't going to listen to you anyways, and potentially you have the Bach to rely on, and let it be. What raises everybody's eyebrows for the major discussion is the first statement that he makes, this sveika of the Rush, where he says that there's two levels of suffix. Now, just as background. Right. Generally, we assume Safik Doraisa L'Chumra, right? And Chadash is a Doraisa Halacha. So therefore, we would say Safik Doraisa L'Chumra. You have to be Machmir anytime that there's a Safik. However, we do have a concept called a Sveik Sveika, that if there's two doubts, if there's a double doubt, then one has the right to be lenient, even when there's a Din Doraisa that is at stake. Okay, so that seems to be what the Ramah is driving at, to say, oh, there's a Sveik Sveika, and therefore you have the right to be Mekel, even though it's a Din Doraisa. That seems to be what he is trying to get at. So the problem is, as we pointed out already when we've quoted this Ramah, is that this doesn't seem to be two doubts, right? A double doubt means usually that it's coming from like two totally different aspects of a case. But here, it's really the same. It sounds like it's the same aspect of the case, right? Was this grain planted before Pesach, or was it not planted before Pesach? Right? It's a little hard to say, well, was it planted 6 months before Pesach? And even if it wasn't planted 6 months before Pesach, maybe it was planted a week before Pesach. That's the same suffix, right? You're left in the same place of what's of looking prior. So how does the Ramah get off of saying this? So here we're going to go on a little bit of what's going on out there? I'm going to go a little bit of a tour here through a totally separate sugya, which is sort of which is ground zero for the issue of Sveik Sveika, one of the most famous dafs in all of Shas, and that is Daf Tes in Maseches Ksuvos. Some yeshivas could spend 5-6 months just sitting on this daf in Maseches Ksuvos. There's a lot of different topics that come up. But what is the primary topic? So what is the starting point? The starting point is that the husband gets, again, the background is that back in the day, they used to have, a woman used to get betrothed, they used to have iris into the man, And then they would have Nisuin a time later, up to a year later. So here, well, and meaning that they were, so to speak, married for a year, but they did not have relations until a year has gone by. However, during that entire interim period, if she had an affair, if she had relations with another man, so she would be usher to, she would in theory get the death penalty if there are witnesses, but for the purposes of the Gemara Maseches Ksuvos, it's the man would be exempt, the marriage would end, and the man would not be required to pay her the Ksuva. That's the background for the case. So, the Gemara goes as follows. Ha'omer, the very top line of the daf, we're on page 6. Right? Ha'omer, Pesach Pasulach Matzasi. So he says, I found that she was not a Besula, that she was not a virgin. So, Neman La'osra Lav. So he is believed, the man is believed, to have her prohibited to him. Why? Because if the woman had an affair while she was married to the husband, while she was already married to him, so a woman who had an affair is not allowed to stay married to her current husband. Now, how that works out practically is another large topic. How is it enforced? Who's believed or whatever? But that's not for now. Technically, he said that the Gemara says if he says Pesach Pasulach Matzasi, he is believed to prohibit her to him. So the Gemara says, why should she be usher to him? Vamai, sveik sveikahu, right? Why is she prohibited to him? His whole basis of evidence is not anything that she told him. It's not based on some private investigator that was able to take pictures of her through a hotel window someplace, right? His whole basis is just saying, when we had relations, she didn't have her basulim were not intact. So there's several ways why the basulim would not be intact, why the hymen would not be intact, right? Sveik sveika, sufik tachtav, ain tachtav. He says maybe it happened when she was, between kedusha and nisuin, when she was already related to him, when she was already married to him, or maybe it took place before she was married to him. V'imtim solomar, so that's sufik number one, meaning maybe she had this affair before she was married to him in the first place. V'imtim solomar tachtav, and once you say, and even if you say that it happened while she was already married to him, sufik ba'ones, sufik baratzon. Maybe she was raped, and if she was raped, she would not be prohibited to her husband either. Okay, so that is the two levels of doubt that we could impose upon his claim that she was not a virgin when I had relations with her the first time. Maybe that's not enough to end the marriage if it happened before she was married to you. And even if it happened after she was married to you, maybe it happened by way of an ones, by way of a rape, rather than by way of her actually having an affair with another man. Right? In which case, the man's just simple claim of she doesn't have her basulim, that should not be sufficient for him to be able to end the marriage. Okay, are we good so far? Okay, so the Gemara then says, you're right. He's only believed in one of the following two scenarios. What are these two scenarios? So he says, number one, lo tzricha be'eshes kohen. He says, well, maybe he's a kohen, right? What does it matter that he's a kohen? Because if a woman is raped and she's married to a kohen, in that case she would have to leave the kohen. That is the halacha. At least raped, she would have to leave the kohen under those circumstances. It's tragic. It happens, but that's halacha A. Therefore, one of the sfeikos drop away, in which case it's only one suffix, right? Did it happen before he was married to her or after he was married to her, right? Or you could say, be'ishis Yisrael, that it's married to a Jew, v'chagon dekabil baravua kedushin p'chusim ibas gimel shan v'yomechad, that the father accepted kedushin on her behalf when she was less than 3 years old. Now, if she's less than 3 years old, Nisuin doesn't necessarily happen when she's 4 years old. Nisuin might not happen till she's 13, 14, 15, you know, whatever, till she's older. So, in which case, she was mekadesh to him for a long time. And the understanding of the Gemara is that if her hymen is ruptured, it had to have taken place after the age of 3. So what has the Gemara here done? The Gemara is another, set up another structure and said, well, if we know that it took place after she was married to him, so in which case you're only left with one suffix. Was it an ones or was it a ratzim? Okay, that is the Gemara's response. Okay, so now we're going to pick up on that second answer of maybe she was below the age of three. So if you go towards the bottom of Tosfos right in the middle of the page, after the lines get a little bit wide, but not too wide, right? Tosfos Dibar Maskel v'Iba Yisema be'Ishes Yisrael dekabel ba'Avia Kedushin pechusim v'baskim l'shanim. Okay, that's the possibility that maybe she was already married from the time below she was the age of three. So the Gemara answer. So Tosfos asks. He says, "Hey, wait a second. V'im Tomar Akasi Ika Sfeik Sfeika." He says, "But there's still going to be a Sfeik Sfeika, even if she was married to him before the age of three. We still could spell out two separate doubts." He says, "Number one." Safik ba'ones, safik baratzon, right? Maybe she was raped, in which case it wouldn't count. V'im tim solomar baratzon, safik kishihi ketana upitui ketana onesu. He says, or maybe it happened while she was still a ketana. And the Gemara claims, and Tosfos claims, based on a Gemara, Meseches Yevamos, that pitui ketana is onesu. That if a man seduces a woman while she is a ketana, that is automatically considered to be like an ones. Pitui ketana, pitui is seduction, so pitui ketana, seduction of a ketana, is considered to be an ones, considered to be statutory like rape. A rape. Right, so we would call that in English statutory rape, right? That's what's going on there. So either she was, so Tosfos says, I'll give you another sfeika. Either she was raped after the age of 12, or she had bia before the age of 12, in which case we're going to call it statutory rape. Okay, so v'yesh lomar, so Tosfos responds by saying, no, that doesn't work. Why? The shame ones chadhu, because really that's really only one suffix, right? The question still remains the same question. Was she raped or was she not raped? I mean, you're trying to say, oh, maybe she was raped, or maybe she was seduced, in which case we're going to call it a rape. He says, well, okay, Satoso says, but you're left with one suffix then, right? You're only left with one suffix, right? Was she raped, or was she not raped, right? That's, and so that's considered to be, so Satoso here develops this concept of shame, what is he called? The shame ones chadu, that it's only really one suffix. Okay, so based on this Tosfos, so that's a question then on our Ramah, right? Our Ramah seems to be saying, well, I could develop two different, I could call the suffix two different things, but really it's the same suffix, right? Was it planted before Pesach or was it planted after Pesach? That's what it's all going to boil down to. So I listened to a shiur a couple of months ago and then went back and reviewed it from Rabbi Daniel Stein. He was a little older than me. I think we overlapped in Rav Schechter's shiur by a year. But we've been in touch since then. But he gave a shiur. He's a rabbi in YU. He also is a rabbi on the west side, one of the shuls on the west side of Manhattan now. So he gave a shiur on this Chadash Yashom thing. And he discussed this Ramah and he gave the following answer, which the truth is I figured like, oh, everybody, like, it seems pretty simple, but I couldn't find anybody else. I didn't look around that much, but I couldn't find anybody that discussed this straight up in this particular way. But one could answer for the Ramah and say that this concept of it only being one suffix, not necessarily every Rishon agrees to that concept. Right? Not every, just because Tosfos says that's not going to work because it's because Mefuta is it's not going to work because the same suffix. He says not every Rishon agrees to that concept. Maybe it could still be considered to be a sfeik sfeika, even if it's sort of the same topic. Who is this other Rishon that maybe the Ramah would be basing himself on? So he suggests that it is the Rambam. Okay, so the Rambam is here in Perek Gimel Halacha Beis in Hilchos Isuri Bia. So what, we're on page 7 now. So on page 7, the Tosfos quoted a Gemara saying that, oh, pitui kitana onisu, right? So comes the Rambam here and says, habal ha-kitana, if one has relations with a kitana, ishes ha-gadol, im kitsha avia, hareza bechenek, vihi petur mikulam. Right, a woman, someone who has relations with a ketana, who is married to an adult, meaning the father married her off. He would be chayiv chenek. He would be chayiv the death penalty because he's having an affair with a married woman, and she would be exempt. Why would she be exempt? Because she's a ketana. However, says Tosos, the nesra al baila kemosha bi'arnu behilchosota. But she's usher to her husband, as we explain in Sota. Okay, so what is the Rambam saying here? Right. So the Gemara in Yevamos that Tosfos was saying was suggesting that pitui ketana is an ones, right? So if she's having relations as a 9 year old. Right, so Tosfos said, well, the Gemara in Yevamos says, by definition, that's considered to be an ones. And if she's an ones, then she's not going to be usher to her husband. Comes the Rambam, and the Rambam totally ignores it. The Rambam says, no. Right? If the woman has an affair, I don't care if she's 7 years old, 8 years old, 9 years old, 10 years old. If she was married to a, if she was already married to a gadol on a doraisa level, that marriage has to be over. Why? Because she's a woman that had an affair while she was already married to her husband. So,
but she wasn't an affair; she was raped.
No. The Gemara in Yevamos says that by definition, a pitui of a ketana is an ones. So the Rambam seems to be rejecting that assumption, right? The Rambam says no; that's considered to be an affair. What does the Rambam do with that Gemara in Yevamos? Right? So that's the question that the Ravid asks, right? The Ravid right here, on the side here, right, where it says Hasagus HaRavid, so the Ravid says, Lo yadati lama nesra al baile Yisrael, shari amru pitui ketana onesu. Right? Says the Ravid, hey, wait a second, why are you assering this woman to her husband, right? Doesn't the Gemara tell us that pitui ketana is an ones, right? And therefore she should not be assered to her husband because we're going to consider that to be a rape. Right? That's the question that the Ravid has on the Rambam. Okay? Right? And also the question that Joel had on the Rambam. Right? Got that? Okay. So if we look surrounding the Rambam here is the Magen Mishnah. Right? Magen Mishnah is on both sides of the Rambam. Right? And you see here on the bottom right side of here, he quotes the Rambam and then he quotes the Ravid. And he points out, right, that others ask this as well. And, okay, and let's go, where should we pick up here? Mm-hmm. Right, so if you look on the left side, on the left column, about eight lines down after it becomes skinny. The last word on the line is velo. Mm-hmm. Right? He says, velo matzasi makum l'rabbeinu al ma yisnuch. And he says, so says the Magen Mishnah here, I didn't find any makor, I don't find any source on which the Rambam to rely on. Meaning, we have a Gemara that says pitui ketana onesu. For the Rambam to say that it's not considered to be an ones, he needs another makor. Right, so the Magen Mishnah says, I looked through all of the Gemara, and I don't find any source where the Rambam would see that, except for maybe here, right? Bezeh ela meosa she'amru perek kama d'ksuvas, except for that which you say in the first perek of Meseches Ksuvas. And there he quotes the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Eliezer, Amar Pesach Pesuch Matzasi, this is what we read before, Neman le'osra levek v'hikshu abamai, ta-da-da-da, right? And go, right, I see, I have it in brackets there, that's the writing that's been in my Rambam for a while. That's, I guess, since I learned this sugya in... when I was there, it says, so Rabbeinu at the end of the brackets. So perhaps the Rambam must have understood shuafilu adayin hi ketana, that even if she's still a ketana, that would potentially be considered to be an affair. So a kasi iklamashmina diim isa de ketana shezinsa baratzon ina neseres albaila afilu kibil ba avia kedushin. that there it says that a katana who was mizaneh, who had an affair and wanted baratzon, he wasn't raped, she's not prohibited to her baal, afilu kibil ba avia kedushin, even in the case of the father accepted the kedushin, pechus viva shalashon viyom echad, akasi tarte sveke ninu, then there would still be two svekos, safik zinsa katana, safik gedola. I mean, maybe she was mizana as a katana, or maybe she was a gedola, and if you want to say she was a gedola, then maybe she was an one safik baratzon, safik ba one safik baratzon. Elalav shmamina shafilu kitana shezinsa beratzon nesra baila. He says, so rather what? It must be that even a kitana that was mizana beratzon nesra would be prohibited to her husband, and therefore we see you only would have one suffix. What did he just do here? Right? So Tosfos asked the question, right? Tosfos' question was, well, a kitana who has an affair, that's not considered to be an affair, that's considered to be rape, right? So if that's the case, then you should have a sveika. So how did we answer that question? So Tosfos answers the question by saying, no, it's you're left with one suffik, because it's a question whether she's raped or whether she wasn't raped, right? How do you know, even though it's sort of called two things, that's still called one suffik? So Tosfos, I don't want to say made that up, but Tosfos developed that idea off of this question. I mean, Tosfos has a question, and in order to answer that question, Tosfos develops a fundamental principle saying that in order for something to be considered a sveika, it has to be two totally different sveikas from two different doubts from two different places. That's Tosfos' explanation. The Rambam's explanation could be, your whole premise is wrong. He says, you're telling me that a woman who is a katana is really, is always going to be considered to be an ones. Who says? Maybe that's not the case, right? There's a Gemara Maseches Yevamos that says otherwise. So the Rambam will tell you, by this Gemara that says otherwise, this Gemara is going to be my Makor. By the fact that the father can say, by the fact that we're going to say that she's going to be disqualified from being with her husband because the father married her off below the age of 3, and therefore there's only one suffix about whether she was raped or not, right? And we're not going to distinguish between whether she was older, whether she was younger, the Rambam will tell you, because there is no distinction about whether she was older or whether she was younger, right? It's only one question, was she raped or was she not? And if she was, and we're not going to come up with an idea and we're not going to paskin like the idea that pitui katana onesu, that any time a woman below the age of a katana has an affair, we're going to automatically consider it rape. The Rambam says, not true. I'm not going to accept that. If that's the case, so it could be the Rambam is rejecting the answer of Tosfos. Right? Tosfos' answer was that, oh, well, it's really considered to be one suffix because it's a question of whether she was raped or whether or not. Rambam says, nope, I don't have that principle. Right? There's no source for the Rambam to have that principle of it being two doubts, of the two doubts having to be coming from two different places. And therefore we're not going to paskin that way.
The Rambam is kind of splitting it, though, because he's, at the same time he's saying she doesn't get any punishment.
No, that's because she's a katana. Okay, that's because she's a katana. She can't be punished from Beis Din. But the effects of it, it's still an effect. It's still something that, right, that comes out. It's still something that's going to come out from it. Now, it's a little, that's a pretty razzle-dazzle thing, but it could be that that's also part of the Rambam's understanding of sveika in general, meaning this concept that we have a suffix, that suffix d'oraisa l'chumra, that concept. So is that a din d'oraisa or is that a din d'rabanan? Right? That anytime you have a biblical halacha and we're not sure about fulfilling it or not, there's a suffix about it. So we have to try to fulfill it. So is that a din d'oraisa or is that a din d'rabanan? So that is a machlokas rishon. Okay, so most rishonim assume actually that it's still right, that it's a real din based on the concept of following rov. You have to follow the majority. You have to be concerned. The Rambam holds not. The Rambam holds there's a equation there. The Rambam holds that it is a din derabanan that you have to say safik d'oraisa l'chumra. Right, the Rabbanon came along and said, in a case of doubt, we're going to tell you to be strict, to follow the halacha anyways. So therefore, the Rambam would turn around and say, so what about if it's a sveika? right? So the Rambam then says, so if it's a sfeik, and that's what the Rambam says explicitly, right? And therefore, if it's a sfeik, if it's a double doubt, so the second doubt is only a doubt on a safek derabanan. It's only a doubt on a rabbinic law. So therefore, once you get to a second doubt, so therefore you have the right to say safek derabanan lekula. Okay? So that being the case, so that gives the Rambam potentially more leeway to establish how you would get to a second doubt. Meaning you don't necessarily have to be coming from different places, you just have to sort of be extending the doubt somewhat beyond what the original doubt was. So that perhaps would lend itself to the Rambam saying that b'makom echad would still be considered to be two sfeikus, as long as we can like label it in two different ways, and that might be what the Rama would say here as well, that you have the ability to say it in to label it in multiple ways. So that's
elsewhere. Rambam talks about if somebody lacks the signs of being a tour that. It could be a stick that.
Right. So the Gemara on that daf brings up the idea of like, how do you know it wasn't a muchas eitz? Right. The Gemara itself raises that. I think on this daf. I think it's on Amud Beis. I think it's on the next half where the Gemara raises that. How do you know that it wasn't that? And I think the Gemara there responds by saying, well, a woman, she would know about that, or she would have admitted that. Or she would, I think no one that would have happened. I think that might be, at least that might be one of the answers the Gemara gives.
She wouldn't have known if she was raped.
What do you mean?
I mean, like, she's aware when things happen because of a stick.
No, she would, but she's not going to admit it. Something happening because of the muchas eitz, the stick. She has no reason to hide that, right? That she'll admit. Right. So, but the ones that she does have reason to hide. So therefore, she's not saying anything. So therefore, we're just going on the word of the husband. I forgot where it's definitely discussed in this zone. I just can't.
That's okay.
Okay, definitely in this area. Okay, so fine. So that is the suggestion of trying to understand the Rama. A couple of other things to just quickly point out around here. There's another concept that's sort of thrown in here that doesn't seem to, I haven't been able to find much discussion on it, but there's one other concept, the concept of a davar sheyesh lo matirin. If you look at the shach here, Dalid, right, so this is where going on the Ramaz discussion of the sveika, so comes the shach and says, v'afagav d'chadash have a davar sheyesh lo matirin, v'davar sheyesh lo matirin afilu v'sveik sveika aser. Yesh Lomar, as we said earlier, Kamosha Kasav Le'el Simen Kuf Yud Sif Katan Chafei. He said, well, what are we talking about here? So there is a Davar Sheyesh L'Matirin means something that's going to be permissible anyways. Right? So if something is going to be permissible anyways down the road, so then we are generally Machmir on that, right? Where does that come up? So it most prominently comes up in the beginning of the Gemara in Maseches Beitza, where we have a question about whether the Beitza, where the egg fell, did fall on Yontif or did not fall on Yontif. If it fell on Yontif, that would make it Muksa. So we say, all right, I mean, in theory, we could be Makel, maybe, especially if it got mixed into something else. But we say, yeah, but it's a Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin. It's something that's going to be permissible anyways, and because it's going to be, and a Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin is not going to be Batel. It's not going to be nullified. Now, there's a bit of a question as to why that is. I mean, why are we so strict when it comes to, all of a sudden, to a davar sheyesh lo matirin? So that is a question as to what is bringing about that chumrah. But anyways, that is that's an added thing. So why here all of a sudden do we not, does that not become a big issue in Hilchos Chadash, right? Anytime when you talk about Chadash and Yashan, so it's going to be mutter, it's just going to be mutter in another year from now, right? Another later on. But why would we seek to be Mekel? So he says, take a look over there. I just looked, I couldn't find that specific spot. So that's something to save for another time. And then another thing to save for next time, I guess when we finish things up, is the issue of Kalim, meaning all of a sudden these things get absorbed into Kalim. So now do we have to be Machmir for that going forward, right? That's the case of the pizza store, right? So if all of a sudden you have a shipment of non-chadash wheat and then you use it, so does that mean that you're done for the rest of the season? Or is it, all right, you know, we're only machmir for the stuff itself, but just if it's absorbed into vessels, so on that we're not going to be as strict. So that's also something to discuss. And I think that pretty much gets us to the end. Dalet and Hey are a couple more details about Hashrasha, but not nothing major. So I feel next week we could finish up Chadash and probably even begin on Hilchos Orla, Reish Sadi Dalet, a whole another host of interesting concepts that we don't come across too often. Okay? All right. Yishkach. Stop here. Yeah.